We're on Daf Kuf Nun Dalid Amud Beis, and we're up to the first of the wide lines. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Yochai Omer, Hoisa Behemta Teuna Shalif Sheltvua. He's got an animal that's laden with a burden of grains, and it's Tevel. And Tevel is Muktzah, so he can't take the Tevel into his hands and carry it. And in this particular case, we have to find some sort of takana for him. We don't want him to lose his produce, but it's Muktzah. And apparently he cannot take off the masa with some sort of loosening the ropes that tie down these bundles or baskets of grains to the animal, but it's sitting or laying, resting on the animal on both its sides, and apparently, therefore, even if he would loosen the ropes, it would still remain on the animal's back. So what does Rav Shimon recommend in this case? Meniach rosho tachteha, and tachteha means tachas echod mitzide hamaso, umesalko litzad acher, v'unofel me'elov. He should push the bundle first. He should push in position his head on the one end of the bundle, and then push it up over the other side, and who know from the Elov, the bundle will fall by itself. And by pushing it off the animal with his head, that's not a violation of the Isur Mukta, because when you move something that's Mukta, in this case the Tevel, with your head, that's not considered a violation of the Isur Mukta. And the Ramban points out that even though with regard to the Isur Tiltul Muktzah, it applies even if he only comes in contact with Miktsaso, with only part of the object that's Muktzah, that itself would not be enough to be Matir. But the Heter here is because Rosho, Letaltel Barosho, is called Shalokader Tiltul. And that would be Tiltul Begufo, and it's not included in the Iser. Others would say that maybe there is a problem of Tiltul Muktzah here, but since he does it Shalo Kiderech Tiltul, and it's Tzar Bali Chaim, then the combination thereof is going to permit him to do this. The Braisa continues, Chamoro Shel Rav Gamliel, Hoysa Teuna Dvash, Velo rotza leforka ad motzoi Shabbos. So motzi Shabbos mesa. So in the case of Rav Gamliel, his animal was laden with honey as Shabbos began, and Rav Gamliel didn't want to unload the donkey until motzi Shabbos. We're not exactly sure why not. But as fate would have it, L'motzoi Shabbos, the donkey died. So the Gemara says, why didn't Rav Gamliel just simply unload the honey on Shabbos? V'anan t'nai, we learned that Mishnah, notel kelim ani tolim. He's allowed to take off the animal any utensils that are normally moved on Shabbos. Honey is an edible, it's an ochel, it's not muktzah. He could have taken off the honey off the donkey. Why didn't he do so? So the Gemara now gives us some of the background, some of the details of this case. Kishe hidbish, which means that the honey was already sour, and therefore it was muktzah. He says that dvash hichmitz ain't a royal shemish b'shabbos v'yosu l'taltalo. So the Gemara clarifies, dvash hidbish l'may chazi. In other words, why did Rambam Galil want to get the dvash, you know, after Shabbos at least, off the, what's it suitable for? L'ksisa de gamli. It actually could help heal a wounded camel. So the camel has abrasions on its back, p'tsa'im in Hebrew, and this dvash, even though it's not edible because it's already hidbish, it's become sour, but nevertheless it still is a salve, and it has therapeutic value for a gamal's back. Now, if that be the case, you could ask, why is sour honey muktzah? Why couldn't he just take it off the back of the animal? Again, back to our original question. And this has to do with the question of whether or not we are allowed to apply salves to animals on Shabbos. The Gemara now again questions Rav Gamliel. V'yatir chavola v'yiplu sakin. He could have loosened the ropes that tied the sacks onto the donkey's back, and the honey would have fallen to the ground. And mitztaru zike. The Gemara answers that the sacks would have split open, and the honey would have been ruined. The avikar muksos of yanichav tachtom. Why can't he bring pillows and cushions, place them underneath the spot where the honey would fall? If he would have, loosened the ropes. And the answer is mitanfe. He didn't want to ruin the pillows and cushions. They would have been spoiled from the spillage of the honey. V'komavatli kli meichano. And once the kli becomes spoiled, then he would be mevatel the kli meichano. You know, it's no longer usable, and therefore it would become mukta. And we're not allowed to actively create a muktzah status for something. So the Gemara asks, "Va'ika tsar balechayim? Why didn't Rav Gamliel remove, in some way or another, the sacks from the back of the animal because of tsar balechayim? That's an isa d'oraisa. So that should be docha." This Easter of Bithel Kli Mehechano, which is only Drabbanon, if he would take the Karmic Susos. And the Gemara answers, Kasav Rav Gamliel held that Tsar Balechaim is Drabbanon. It's not an Easter Doraisa, and therefore it would not trump the Easter Drabbanon of being Mevatel Kli Mehechano. Now the Gemara tells us about the Iser Shtamshus Bebehemah B'Shabbos. We've mentioned this Iser in the past. Here's the original. Abai Ashkeche L'Rabbi found Rabba to call Mishafshef Le Libre Agaba de Chamra. Rabba's child, his son, was on the back of a Chamor. And Rabba was sort of playing, you know, he was soothing the child. He was Meshafshev Lishasho. He was giving him a kind of a massage. And this was on the back of the Chamor. I guess he was probably holding on to his son in a way that he wouldn't fall from the chamor. Anyway, Abai turns to Rab and he says, "Kamishtamish mar bebalichayim." You're benefiting from an animal on Shabbos, and at the end of Masechta Beitza, it says, "Ein rochvin al behem b'Shabbos." We're not allowed to ride animals on Shabbos. And who had din kol tashmish bebehema osur b'Shabbos? Any use of the animal, any benefit you get from the animal. Here he was using the animal, you know, to place his child on top of the animal, be mishashea. The reason why you can't enjoy any benefits from an animal is gzeira shegazu shelo lirchov al gabi behema, and included in this iser of lo lirchov al gabi behema is lo l'shtamish klal bebehema. The Chacham didn't want to make a distinction between riding an animal and benefiting from the animal in any shape or form. All this is part of the gzeira of rechiva of shema yitlosh zmora. So just to get our heads on this, the Gemara is asking Akash on Rabbah how he was able to put his child on top of the animal on Shabbos and be mishtamish with the animal. Amalei, so Rabbah responds to Abaye, it's done in him. Utzdadim lo gozu be'rabbanon. In other words, I put my child on the side of the animal, and the gzeirah d'rabbanan of not being mishtamish with an animal only applies when you use the animal in its normal way. And this case, where I am only using the sides of the donkey, which I guess he means he sat on one side and he put his child, let's say, to his left or to his right, but they're sitting on the side of the donkey. That is not included in the original decree, the enactment prohibiting enjoying the benefits from an animal. And in the note here, he writes that Rabbah did not sit his son astride over the donkey like a regular rider, but rather he merely slid him down the donkey's sides. And that side of the donkey is not the part of the donkey that you usually use, and it's not included in the original injunction of benefiting from an animal, to make use of a living animal. And that's what we have here. I just want to see. So he says the following. Minot Temra. Let's bring some sort of raya for what we said that Rabbah. Just one second. I lost the place here. Where's Minot Tamer here? Yeah, there it is. So the Gemara, Rabbah continues and he says, from where do I learn this din? And let's go over it. It means that Rabbah held that Litzdadim lo gozu be'rabbanan. Midasnan, from our Mishnah, it says that Imhoisa Behemto to Una Dvarim She'enim Nitolim V'Shabbos is Mater Chalovim Vasakim Noflim. So you loosen the ropes and the bundles will fall down. And isn't it a case of Bechever Guvalki, which means that there are two bundles, two baskets that are placed on the two sides of the chamor, and we connect them together with various straps. Dahavalei tzdadin. It means that when he loosens the ropes, he's going to probably lean on the animal. Let's assume he gets very close to the animal in order to spend his time unraveling the ropes. And when he leans on the animal, or he slides on the animal, whatever he does, he's going to be benefiting from the animal. So how could the Mishnah advocate Matir Chavolim Vasakim Noflim? And the answer must be Tavil Utstadim and Utstadim Lo Gazru Buhu Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan never made the gzera prohibiting use from an animal if you're only benefiting from the size of the animal. So Abaye now comes back and he says, lo, from the Mishnah you cannot prove that litzdodim lo gozru chachomim, because the Mishnah is talking about a case of chever aglufgi, which means that the bundles on the two sides are not connected, they're not tied together, but rather they are connected with a small nail that was placed into a tabas mateches sheberosh haritzua. And kshemoshech ma'ates haritzua, hamasmer yotzei v'asakim noflim kol echen mitzido delo havitzdod. So the Mishnah is talking about a case of saddlebags that are untied. They're held together by a clasp. So the saddlebag ropes are connected to each other with a metal ring and a pin. The pin requires only a small tug to separate it from the ring. And all you need to do is to free the clasp in order for the saddlebags to fall on their own. This does not entail leaning on the sides of the donkey at all. Inami, alternatively, bilachta, even if I assume that the saddlebags are joined together with a rope and with chains, but nevertheless, bilachta with a clip. And once again, he'd only have to remove the wooden clip in order to release the sacks, and that doesn't require any leaning on the donkey. Now, the proof that you're allowed to the tzadim, meaning that's not part of the gzera of leaning or benefiting from the donkey, Esve, Abai is going to try to refute this from a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is in Masechtas Sukkah. The Mishnah there addresses the use of a tree, which is analogous to the use of an animal. And in terms of the construction of the sukkah has only three walls, then it's valid. If one of the walls is a tree, it's still valid. Shtayim bidei adam v'achas be'ilon. Two of the walls of the sukkah are man-made. One is there in nature. It's a tree that's growing. Kshera v'ein olim la biyontif. It's a valid sukkah, but one may not go up into it on yontif, because he might make use of the schach, which is supported by the tree. So if you place utensils and you remove them from the schach, that was a custom then. They used to put utensils on top of the schach and then remove them from the schach. Now, when the schach is held up by a tree, then he's violating the prohibited use of a tree. As a precautionary measure, Chazal forbade the use of such a sukkah. My love, the chok bei ba'ilon. So Abai says, doesn't make sense to assume, because how the walls formed by a tree, that he carved holes into the tree. He inserted planks into each of these holes to form a wall, and then rested the roof of the sukkah upon each of these planks, the havilet studim. So the schach itself is supported by the plank walls, which are considered sides of the tree. The Mishnah forbids entering this sukkah on the chag because he might make use of the schach, which is supported by the sides of the tree. So we see clearly that litzdadim asurim, the making use of the sides of the tree, is forbidden. Esve Abaya Sakasha to Rabba from a mission in Sukkah again. We'll go over this. And it says, Hayushtaim defanos asukas yos bi de odom vidofen achas bi ilon. So he's using the ilon as it's serving as the third dofen of a sukkah. And the sukkah is kshera, the Mishnah says. However, ein olim la biyontif, and going into the sukkah, which is called aliyah, most people used to have the sukkah a little bit higher up on the roof, Rashi says. And the reason why you don't go in up to the sukkah, so to speak, is because regilim hayu lishtamesh b'schach laniach olel chafotzim. So let's say we put his pots on top of the schach, and the schach of the sukkah is kosher b'dafnosel, right? It's tied down to the walls of the sukkah, and therefore when he uses the sukkah to put things on top of the schach, he's also using the ilan, because it's one of the dofnei sukkah. So the Gemara is now going to clarify the kasha that Abai asks Rava. My love, shouldn't we assume the case is dochik bay be'ilon, so that he drills holes in the tree and he puts the kunim, you know, the reeds, into these holes, and these kunim serve as a dofin of the sukkah. And the havalu studim. No, he's not really using the tree itself. He's using something that's connected to the tree. That's these kunim. And their status should be equal to that of tzadi or ilan. And nevertheless, it says, ein olam bo biyontif. It means that litzadim asurim. And this against Rabu says that they were mishtamesh b'tzidei behema. And the Gemara is equating here the two Isurim, being mishtamish b'ilon and mishtamish b'behema. So Rabbi answers, lo. We're not talking about a case where he hammers in, you know, the dofen and the reeds that form a dofen into the ilon by knocking, you know, drilling holes in the ilon, but rather the chafye li'ilon, which means that he tipped over the branches of the ilon towards the other side, litzad ha'ilon acher, the koshim and am. Oh, so he's got two trees, and he bows or bends over the leaves, the branches of one tree to the branches of the next tree right next to it, and he ties these two anofim together, and he makes a dofen. Ve'anach sichuch iluye. And then he puts the schach on top of these two branches of two different trees. To kamishtamish ba'ilon. So then, since the schach is placed on top of these branches, then any benefit he gets by putting his kelim, for example, on the schach, he is ipso facto being mishtamesh with the ilon itself. And that's why it's asur on yontif. But it's not a case, as you said, of something that is not, is just mechubar le'ilon, but it's not actually part of the ilon. Here we're talking about part of the ilon itself. So Abaye asks now, ihachi, if we're talking about a case where he's using the ilon itself, emes seifa, what are you going to do with the seifa of the Mishnah, which says that shalosh bidei odem yachas be'ilon k'sher of yolam ba'ad b'yontif, that if he has not two defanos, but rather three defanos, and he uses the ilon as his fourth dofen, and it says that you're allowed to, in that case, use the schach and the sukkah in the normal way that he does. So, v'ide afcheia, v'ide kafya, I'm sorry, le'ilon, if, as we said, he tips over the branches of the ilon, and he makes defanos out of the branches of these two ilonos, is amai olam, why should it be mutter? The schach is still resting on top of the ilon, and therefore he's using the ilon. So we thought that maybe since he has three tefanos, then he's really relying on three of the tefanos, he's not relying on the fourth dofen, which is made of the ilonos. And yet the Gemara says something different. That Rabbah's answer was, Elamai, what are you trying to conclude? That the Mishnah is talking about a case where he knocks kunim into the holes in the ilon, and the reason why he's not allowed to use the ilon, I'm sorry, the sukkah, is because litzdodim asurim is sof, amai olim lo biyontif. Why, in the case where he has three defanos that he created, and the fourth is the ilon, he's allowed to use the schach, I mean the sukkah. Even in this situation, in this scenario, he's being mishtamish b'tzdodi or ilon. Even if he has three defanos. Ella, you're going to have to interpret it, and you have no choice here. The Hossam in the Sefer, where he has three defanos, the reason why you're allowed to enjoy the Sukkah is because we're talking about a Gvaza Parsichna, which means that we're talking about a tree that has many, many branches that are coming out of the tree, and they shoot out and bend in all directions, on all sides. The Ilan Gufe Dofen Bialmahu Deshavya, and he's being Mishtabesh with this Ilan as a Dofen, just as a Dofen. He's not leaning the Schach on top of the Ilan, so the Schach is not considered Tzdode HaIlan. He's allowed to use it on Yontif. And it comes out that no matter how you'll interpret it, the Sefer is not at all similar to the Reisha. In the Sefer, we're talking about a case where he's not somek the schach on the Tefanos. In the Reisha, we're talking about where he's somek the schach on the Tefanos. Therefore, we can interpret the Reisha in a case where the Tefanos are made of the Ilan itself. And that's why Ein Olin Oso Biyontif. He's being mishtamish with the Ilan Gufa, the Ilan Atzma. There's no proof from here that Stodim Tzdodei HaIlon Asurim. And Rava says, let's read the Mishnah carefully. Daika Nami, in the Sefer, it's Meduyok that he's not being somik the Schach on the Tfanis of the Sukkah. The Ketani, it says in the Mishnah, Zeh HaKlal Kol Ilon She'inotel HaIlon V'yecholo Lamod, that even if you were to imagine taking away the Ilon, the Sukkah would still stand, would still remain standing. Olim La Biyontif. So you see that in the Sefer, we're talking about a case where Ein Haschach Nishan Ala Ilon. Right? The Schach is not resting on the Ilon. The Ilon is not holding up the Schach. Otherwise, if you don't say so, then the Sukkah would not be able to stand on its own without the Ilon. It must be a case where the Schach is not sitting on top of or supported by the Ilan. Ishmamino, that's a proof from the Mishnah that the Sefer is talking about a case, a scenario in which Lo Somach es haschach al ha'ilon. So let's try to summarize what we have over here. We're talking about a schach which rests on the tree. And let's just go back a little to get the summary down. In this resha of the Mishnah, we have a Mishnah Sukkah. We have a case where the two walls of the Sukkah are man-made. One is formed by the tree, and you're not allowed to go up into the Sukkah. And why not? And the assumption was that he carved holes into the tree. He inserts planks into these holes to form a wall, and then he rests the roof of the sukkah upon these plank walls. And that's considered litzdadim, because the schach is supported by the plank walls, which are considered like the sides of the tree. And if the Mishnah forbids entering this sukkah during the chag, because he's going to make use of the schach, as we said earlier, there was apparently a minog to put kelim on top of the schach, then it turns out that if the schach is supported by the sides of the tree, then it's usur, and the same logic should apply to the sides of the animal against rava. So the Gemara rejects this and says no. He bent the tree over to form. He bent the tree over to form the tree itself into a wall. He forms the tree into a wall. As we said before, he connects the two branches from two trees, and he rests the schach directly on this wall. And if that's the case in the resha, then for sure, this is not studim. He is also to use this sukkah during the chag because he's mishtamish be'ilon. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that the schach is resting directly on the tree, emos sefer, sholosh bidei adam, if you have three walls that a man made, and the fourth is a tree, then you're allowed to go into there. V'i, and if you can tell me that he tied this bent tree over, you know, the branches of the tree, and he rests the schach directly on the tree, then once again, you are benefiting from the tree. Why are you allowed to use it in the sefer on the chag? After all, the fourth side of the schach is resting on the tree. He made use of the schach, and he's memela, therefore he's making use of the tree. So Rabbah contends back and forth. So what then is your interpretation? Tzadim asurim. Well, if tzadim asurim and the sides of the tree is prohibited, then what are you going to do with the sefer of the Mishnah? You know, why in the sefer of the Mishnah is he allowed to go up into the sukkah on the festival? This should be forbidden since the fourth wall is supported by the plank wall. You call it a plank wall, Abaye. And that is being supported by the tree. And that's called the side of a tree. And according to you, Abaye, you're not allowed to benefit from the sides of the tree. So how could they allow you to go into the sukkah in the sefer? And therefore, we're going to have to assume that the fourth wall was formed from the tree itself, as Rabbah would contend. There's no problem with studim, but here it's the tree itself. But it was not formed by bending the tree over, but rather we're talking about a case where the branch was so thick with foliage that he used it as a wall just as it stands. And the schach rested on the three man-made walls. It did not rest on the tree at all. Rather, he had the tree serve as a wall, but not for support for the schach. And therefore, when he makes use of the schach in the sefer, he's not making use of the tree, and therefore it's permitted. And we see this in a precise reading of the wording of the Mishnah. This is the general rule: whenever the tree can be removed and the schach can stand upon it, then you're allowed to go into the sukkah. And that means that the last case of the Mishnah is where the tree is not supporting the sukkah's roof, the schach at all. And the Mishnah is referring to a wall that's formed by the tree itself, and it cannot be used as a kasha, a refutation of Rabbah's understanding that you're allowed to make use of the sides of the tree. Lema kitanoi, that's what we got up to. Shall we say that this issue about using the sides of an animal or the sides of a tree is really a machlokes tanoi? Because we learned in a braisa saying olim la, right? We don't go into the sukkah on yontif if the schach is being held up, is resting on the ilan. Rabbi Shimon Lozer, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, olim la biyontif. You're allowed to go in there. My la v'hokam ifligi. Perhaps we should assume that this is good for the machlokas. So you're allowed to be mishtamish b'tzadei ilan. So it means, again, he dug holes, he drilled holes into the ilan, and he adds these planks to attach them to the ilan. And after he adds these planks, he puts the schach on, and he's now being mishtamesh with something that's mechubra to the ilan, which is called stadia ilan. Demar sover, according to the Tanakam, it's stadim asurim, umar, Rabbi Meir holds, sover mutarim. So Gemara rejects this. Amar Abai lo. There's no necessity to say that that's what the subject of this machlok is. Even if we'll explain that they argued about the Isar being mishtamish be ilan. Forget about study ilan, the ilan. To kuli almat stadim asurim. Both the Tanakam and Rabbi Meir would agree that stadim are asurim. That's Abai shita, right? But here in the Braisa, about whether you mishtamish b'tzidei tzadim kamiflgi, it's not a case of tzadim, but tzidei tzadim, which means the following: you have something that's mechuber to something that's in turn mechuber to the ilan. So the use of the schach, which is sitting on top of these planks that are tied, that are drilled and nailed down to the ilan, that's not considered shimush of tzadei ilan, but rather shimush of tzadei tzadim. The kanim, the planks themselves, are tzadei ilan. The sichuch, which is resting on top of these planks, that's called tzadei tzadim. So he's not benefiting from the planks in a direct way. He's benefiting from the schach, which in turn is benefiting from the reeds, from the planks, which is in turn benefiting from the ilan. Is mar sover, according to the Tanakhama, even tzidei tzadim asurim? Umar and Rabbi Meir holds that only tzadim are asurim, but not tzidei tzadim, they're mutter. Now Rava rejects Abai, disagrees with Abai. Rava Omar, there's no difference between tzadim and tzidei tzadim. Mandi osa b'tzadim, osa nami b'tzidei tzadim. Umandi shari b'tzidei tzadim, shari nami b'tzadim. So therefore, we have no choice but to assume that the machlok shin the Tanakam and Reb Meir is whether you're allowed to be mishtamish b'tzadim. The Gemara asks the kasha now on Rava from a braisa. Esve Rav Misharshia l'Rava. We have a braisa about Eruv Tchumin, and it says, Noatz, here we're going to turn to Gedaf Kuf Nun Heyam and Aleph, Noatz Yosed Be'ilon, V'tolaba Kalkola, so that he knocks in a peg into a tree, the side of a tree, and he hangs his basket on this yosed, on this peg. And inside the kalkola, he has an eruv. So he wants to be shoves in Rishus HaRabim underneath this ilan. And the Brisa makes the following distinction. If the basket is standing l'malo mi'asar tfachim, so it's above the height, the maximum height of Rishus HaRabim, it's above 10 tfachim, ein eruvo eruv. Why? Because we have to assume that mistama, this basket is 4 tfachim wide, and since it's l'malo mi'asar tfachim, it's a Rishus HaYachid. And that's called a traskal, if you remember. And therefore, if it's Shus HaYochid, he won't be able to have access to the Eruv from this basket, where he wants to be Shoves. He cannot be Kona Shvisa through this Eruv, because if you have this traskal and Rishus HaRabim, and the traskal itself is a Rishus HaYochid, then it's a Suda Shena Ruyelo. There's no way he can have access to this food. And since he can't take it from its place and eat it, it therefore is disqualified as an Erev. It's not Mazon Shtei Sudas, because it's not feasible to eat this Mazon. And we'll call it, it's a Suda Shena Ru'uyolo. However, if the basket, says the Brice, is Lamata Me'asar Tvachim, then a Ruvo Eruv, because now the basket itself is not a Rishus HaYochid, even though it has the width of 4 Tfachim, but it's below Asar Tfachim. And now his Erev is in the same Rishus where he wants to be Shoves. So Rav Masharshia now concludes his Kasha on Rava. He says, let's read the Braisa carefully. Time of the reason why, if it's below Asar Tfachim, the Erev is valid, is because not Yosed Be'ilon. He had knocked in a peg into the tree, and he puts the basket on top of this peg. And now we have a situation of Tzidei Tzdodim. The status of this basket is Tzidei Tzdodim Shel Ha'ilon. Why? Because he has now the Elon itself, then he has the peg, which is Tside, and now he's got the Kalkola, he's got this basket on top of the peg. That's already Tside Tzdode. And that's the case in the Braisa. And therefore the implication is Holo Knots. Let's say he took the Sal, and instead of hanging it on a peg, he actually tied it down to the sides of the Elon. Then, in that case, Afilu, even if it's Lamata Me'asar Tfachim, Ein Eruva Eruv. He's not allowed to take the Eruv from, the food from the Kalkola, because once he takes that food, he's being Mishtamesh B'tzidei Ha'ilon. Right? The only reason we allowed it, in the case of Lamata Me'asar, was because it was Tzidei Tzdodim. The Braisa went out of its way to mention the Yosed, as opposed to the case where he ties down the basket directly onto the tree. Ve'ha haitana dika asar b'tzdodim ve'kashari b'tzidei Tzdodim. Right, that this Tana, who says that if you put the peg up, then again, in Lamata Me'asar, it's mutter, and the Erev is valid. He has access to the food. And he's not considered to be Mishtamish B'ilon, not even B'tzdodia Ilon, but B'tzdodit Tzdodim. But if he had tied down the basket directly to the tree, which would be Tzdodim, then it would be Osir. That's why the Braisa went out of its way to mention the Yosef. Not Yosef. So we see clearly against Rava that we can distinguish between Tzdodim, which might be Osir, and Tzidei Tzdodim, which is Mutter. So Gemara answers, Amar Rav Papa, really there's no difference. Rava's right. Tzdodim, Tzidei Tzdodim, they have the same din. They're identical. The Tana, the Braisa, which only allowed the Kalkola Tzluya B'Yosed, even though, again, Litzdodim would be Mutter, and the reason he prohibits taking the Kalkola, and if it was tied down to the Elon itself, is because Hacha b'Kalkola d'chukas kinon. We're talking about a Sal that has a very narrow opening to it. And only b'docha can he put his hand through that opening. D'bahade d'shokele li eruv, when he would take the food out of this basket, which is tied down to the Elon, kamenid la la Elon, he's inevitably going to shake the tree. Because again, it's you know, that's the way he has this the physical description of this kalkola is such that ipso facto, you can't avoid it, he's going to be shaking up the tree, v'komishtamish b'ilon gufa, and that's considered the ilon itself. That's not even stodeya ilon. So our papa wants to suggest that there would be no difference between stodim and sidet stodim. The only reason why the b'raisa was matir, you know, taking the kalkola, when it's tuya biyase, taking the food, and therefore it's mutter, it's a kosher eru, is because even stodim is mutter. And you don't even have to mention tzidet stodim. The problem with this iser here, which is implicit in the brisa, namely if he had tied the kalkola down, directly down without a yose to the ilan, that iser would be for another reason, because it's a kalkola dchuka, and because bahari d'shokale liyev kam manidle. The final maskan of the Gemara is hilchasot stodim asurim, but tzidet stodim mutarim, which would seem to support the view of Rav Misharshio when he got up and he objected to Rava. Now the Gemara now wants to know how we should be knowing after this Psak Halacha of Ashi Hashad the Amrit, now that you've paskin that Stodim Asurim is therefore high Darga de Midla Lo Linche Inishadikla Dahavilut Stodim. So you have a ladder and you want to climb up this ladder to the Sukkah. Now, we're not talking about a sukkah for Chagas Sukkos now, but rather we're talking about Sukkas HaShomrim Basodos. Right, so we're talking about something like the Burgadin, if you remember, that we discussed. You know, these are security huts. And he's got a ladder, and he wants to climb up to this sukkah that was made for Shomri HaSodah. And it's built on pillars, but they are leaning on the Elon. So a person should not lean on the top of the Sulam, which is leaning on the Elon, because that would be studded. When he climbs up the ladder, he's being mishtamish b'tzdodim, because the ladder is supported by the tree. It's leaning on the tree. Ella, but rather, what should he do? Linche agvaze levar midikla. What he should do is, he should lean the ladder on a yosed, on some sort of a peg, which is, you know, drilled into the side of the tree, and then the yosed becomes tzdodim, and the sulam, the ladder which is leaning on this peg, becomes tzidet tzdodim. And therefore, when he climbs up, kisolik lo linach kare agvaze, again, he shouldn't put his foot on the Yosed, because then he's being established by Tzodim, which we said is Osir, Ela Litnach Akonim. He should make sure that his feet go one rung at a time as he climbs the ladder. Or on the Konim Ayotzim Amudim Amamidim Esukas Hanotzim. So let's just summarize the last piece from Rav Ashi. And he says the following, that if you have an elevated ladder, and he wants to obviously climb up the ladder, so the condition should be the following. He should not lean a ladder directly on the tree, on the palm tree, because then Havilei Tzadim, the ladder would then have the status of Tzadim. Ella, but rather he should rest the ladder on stakes, okay, we call them pegs, that come out of the palm tree. So the ladder now is considered Tzadim, a side of the tree, and he's permitted to climb up, but he has to make sure that he puts his feet on the rungs of the ladder rather than step on the stakes, because then the stakes themselves, which we said are tzadim, and that's also he's not allowed to benefit from the stakes, because that's ki'ilu part of the tree. And that leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, which Mirtz Hashem will pick up tomorrow.